I'm definitely looking forward to this week. I always enjoy missions conference and I always enjoy revivals. Matter of fact, I really enjoy just coming to church and hearing God's Word preached. So I'm definitely looking forward, because I've heard two of the gentlemen that are preaching before, and they are pretty good preachers. They get excited and they get me excited. And I appreciate that. Where did it go? There it goes. How many books in the Bible begin with the letter J? Without looking. I got two. This one should be easy. How many books in the Bible begin with the letter J? Don't look. Don't Google. Huh? I don't know more than that. Double then some. More than that. More than that. What? Y'all guessing. More than 10. 12. 12 books begin with the letter J. That was easy. Here's your harder one. What name did Nathan the prophet give Solomon, meaning beloved of the Lord? What name did the prophet Nathan give Solomon, meaning beloved of the Lord? See, I told you this one was going to be harder. I gave you an easy one. Y'all ran out of fingers, but... Jedidiah, 2 Samuel 12:25. Solomon called him Jedidiah, meaning beloved of the Lord, and he was. A small town had four churches, Presbyterian, Methodist, Catholic, and Baptist. All four had serious problems with squirrels in the church. Each church in its own fashion had a meeting to deal with their problem. The Presbyterians decided that it was predestined that the squirrels be in the church, and they would just have to leave them alone. The Methodists decided they should deal with the squirrels lovingly, in the style of Charles Wesley. They humanely trapped and released them in a park outside the edge of town. Within 3 days, they were all back in the church. The Catholics also humanely trapped them and attempted to teach them the rhythm method, which of course did not work either. The Baptists had the best solution. They voted the squirrels in as members. Now they only see them at Christmas and Easter. There is some truth to that. There is some truth to that. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. We won't be reading the whole thing. We'll be picking out verses as we go through tonight. After 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. Before I start, though, we often talk about praying for our missionaries. We take the prayer cards, and sometimes I wonder what some of us do with those. But I say we need to be specific when we pray for our missionaries. Not just to pick up their card and say, we pray for so-and-so, and put their card down. I'd like to give you a couple of things that we should pray for our missionaries. Number one, of course, is pray for the work that they've been called to do. God called them to a certain place to do a certain thing. If that's important to God, then it should be important to us that we pray for that missionary to do that job that God has called them for. Number two is pray for their protection, both physical and spiritual. It is said that 80% of the missionaries that come off the field now don't come off the field because of age. They don't come off the field because they're sick or anything like that. They come off the field because one of their family members or themselves has gotten into sin. They go out into an ungodly place trying to do God's work. The devil's after them. We need to pray for their spiritual protection, that they be protected against all the principalities in the darkness of this world. because the devil is after them. Then, of course, number three is pray for their families. A lot of times, you know, their mind is on their families and everything else that's going on. Their mind is not on what God has called them to do. So if God is blessing and taking care of their families, then that missionary is allowed to focus on what the Lord has called him for. Number four is pray that they will be able to present the gospel. Not in the way that you think. Not in the way of just handing out tracts. But it's been said that people have sat in churches for 60 years and never been saved because they never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. So our missionaries go to foreign fields, they learn a new language and everything else like that. So it becomes hard to give something that they're commonly used to giving. So pray that God will give them the correct utterance of words, that they can give clearly the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number five is pray for their support, that they maintain their support, which is why we're having our mission conference this year, is so we continue to faithfully give. They depend on churches like ours. And we need to pray that other churches are continuing to give so they can go out there and do God's work. One church alone can't support a missionary. It takes a whole bunch of us. But we need to pray for their support. And number six, pray for their sending church. You've even heard of Brother Chris talk about it. He come back and his church that sent him out was no longer the church that it was when he left. The analogy of the boiling frog is used here. You know, you can drop a frog in cold water and turn it on, and it won't even jump out. But it gets boiled, and it dies. Because the slow increase of temperature changes everything. Our churches are in the same strait right now. Things are slowly changing in a lot of our churches, and they're not even seeing the change. But over 10 or 15 years, when your missionaries come back to visit their home church, it is nowhere near what it was when they left. So we need to start praying for the sending churches. They remain faithful to God, to the Word, and to what that missionary left, knowing what the church was to be. Just a couple of things that I think would help our missionaries as we pray for them in these things. You have your Bible. I'm only going to read one verse tonight, and then we'll get started. I have many verses in the lesson tonight, or message. But 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10, if we'll stand. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10. And the Word of God said, And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Father God, we give the night to you. It's yours. Lord, I pray that you would help us to lay everything else aside, all the worldly things, all the thoughts about work or whatever we have left to do today, Lord, that we'll just set it aside just for about 30 or 40 minutes, Lord, and give our attention to the Holy Spirit. And allow the Holy Spirit, Lord, to chasten and to challenge and to correct and to uplift our souls. Father God, we pray if there's a lost one here tonight, that one would be saved. Lord, if there's one that's not quite walking the way that they should, Lord, if they would come back to you. Lord, we pray your blessing upon the night. Lord, we pray for your presence to help us to understand. Lord, give me utterance, hide me behind the cross, and may it truly be your words and your desires and not mine. Lord, I do pray that you help your unworthy servant just for a little while. And Lord, may you receive all the honor and the glory, for it's in your Son's name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my message tonight is called A Bigger Coat. And it's in reference to, of course, missions with their upcoming missions conference. We find here Hannah. It's a familiar story. Elkanah and Hannah, of course, have gone year after year up into the temple to praise and to worship and to take a vow. Elkanah has another wife, Phinehas, and she has children. Hannah does not. Hannah desires to have a child. And such a desire that she, it says that her soul is bitter. I can understand this. For a woman, childbearing is very important. To be able to carry on her family, especially during this time. And so much of the husband's other wife had much, and she was jealous. And she did the only thing that she could do. And that was that she could pray unto God. But she did not just pray unto God. The verse said that she wept sore when she bowed down. Hannah wanted a son, a man child, to carry on the name of her husband. This was a desire of her heart. And she wanted it greatly or badly. She did the only thing she knew what to do, and that is to pray. She went to the temple during the yearly sacrifice and prayed unto God. Matter of fact, she was sitting there and praying, her lips moving and no sound coming out. And Eli thought that she was drunk, as the text goes. And she said, "Oh no, Lord, I am not." And she told him her petition. But I want to focus just for a second on how she prayed. She prayed with her soul. She didn't just bow down and utter some words. She just didn't lift up her voice unto God and say, "Lord, I want this," and expect it. No, she went to God and she laid her heart upon the altar. She said, the Bible says she wept sore because she desired so much to have a child that it broke her heart. Does God not hear our tears? He hears our hearts. How great our petitions are when they come straight from the beating of our chest. Hannah's petition that day was drenched in tears for a desire that she had. The initial gift for her was a son, is what she desired. The first thing that she asked for, the first thing that she prayed for, was a son. And that's what she wept for. It says in verse 20, it says, "In the end, because I have asked of him the Lord." And it says in verse 27, "For this child I prayed." And that's exactly what she did. She prayed unto God on high that she would be blessed. It was an initial request. For all good things are given of God. James 4 says, "Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot attain. You fight in war, yet ye have not because you ask not." It says, "Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss." Hannah did not ask amiss. She asked for the desires of her heart to be pleasing unto her Lord. Some of us have never given to God in a faith promise before. Some of us may not even understand what a faith promise is. It is a gift. It is a promise to God that I will give this much money in honor of missions. But before you do this, it must be asked of God how much. It must be brought to God in a petition saying, "Lord, how much should I give to this?" We go not into anything without praying for it. If we do, we get ourselves in trouble. Our initial prayer for our initial starting of faith promise has to be from the heart to the ears of our God Almighty. Just like Hannah's prayer was. In verse 11 it says, "And she bowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaiden, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give unto him and to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." We find her initial prayers for her son. And then we find in verse 11 that she vows a vow. She calls upon Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of all the angels of heaven, who's who she petitions to. And she makes this request or this vow. She says, if you will give me a son, I will give it back, or I will give him back to you. Our petitions go to God for our faith promise. That we ask God what He wants us and what He desires us to give for the year. We don't give on what we can do, but we give on what God can do. We vow a vow with God for a year, saying, Lord, I promise to Thee, if You give me this, or if You burden my heart with this, this is what I'm going to do for the next year. This is what Hannah did. She asked for a son, and she said, if You bless me with a son, then I will give this son back to You. That is what our faith promises, is a giving back to God and His work. It is a vow, a commitment that we make to Him. It's a promise to God. That is what faith promises. And she promised the Lord, if He were to give her a son, that she would give it back to Him. Lord, if You will do this for me, I will dedicate this child to You. And a Nazarene vow. Lord, if You will answer my prayers, she says, I will hand over the gift to You. For it's not for my glory, but for Yours. We ask God to help us in our faith promise. It's not for our glory, but for His. It's not for our increase, but for His increase. It's not for anything that has to do with us. It has all to do with God and what He wants us to do. So we go to God in initial prayer asking, Lord, what You have us to do. And then we vow a vow to Him. We promise Him that, Lord, I will do this for this year. And I will not fail You. Hannah did not fail her Lord. God blessed in the promise of Samuel. Hannah honored her vow and gave Samuel back. A yearly sacrifice. We find in verse 21. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord for yearly sacrifice and his vow. We do our faith promise every year. Year by year, we take a new vow to God. Year by year, we come before Him and we say, Lord, what would You have us to give this year? We don't say, Lord, what would You have me to give last year or next year? Year by year, the Jewish people went into the temple to praise and to worship and to receive sacrifice unto the Lord to cleanse them of their sins. And each year, they would vow a new vow to God, a new promise. This is what our faith promise is. Each year we come before the throne of God and we ask Him the same thing that we asked the year before. Lord, what would You have me to do? And then based on what God burdens our heart, we vow that new vow to Him. It is a yearly sacrifice. It is not a temporal thing. It's not something that we just play around with. It is something that's supposed to be pure and holy unto God. We don't make promises to our Lord with an intent to break them. God never broke a promise, and neither should we. A vow with our God should be sacred, more sacred than anything that we can mention. And year by year they went through the sacrifice and made a vow. The faith promise is a continual thing. It's not something that we just start and then we stop. We don't do it one year and not do it the next. It is to be something that we carry on throughout our lives. To help one of the greatest things that we can help us with His missionaries, winning souls to the kingdom of God. Every year is a new prayer. Every year is a new dedication. Every year is a new start. Every year we need to meet at the temple to give God a vow for this year. Verse 21 of chapter 2. I wonder why I look funny. That don't look right either. I think I got my notes wrong. Y'all forgive me. And it says, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. And also in verse 26 it says, he grew in service to God. Can I tell you that the missionary needs grow every year. They do not stay the same. Matter of fact, where's Jalen? Can I borrow you, Jalen? Come on. Come on down. Come on down. Don't be scared. Just stand right there just for a minute. Y'all don't know, this is Jalen. He's going to help me out. He's going to put on my coat. It's okay, Jalen. If you look at verse 19 in chapter 2, it says, "Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him every year, or from year to year, when she came up to her with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." When missionaries first start, their knees are maybe this small. But as their work grows, their need grows. As their family grows, their needs grow. As they reach more people for Christ and gather more people into their churches, they need more Bibles, they need more song books, they need more chairs. Their electric bill goes up because they need more building space. Samuel was dedicated to God in the year 1. In the first year that she left him there, when he was of age, she brought him a coat. A coat that fit him. But it says in the Bible that she did that what? Year after year, she brought him a new coat. Why? Because the child grew. Jalen, you mind putting this on for me? Is that it? I think they got the point. All right. He's got it on. Can I tell you that our missionaries can't wear the same coat they wore last year? Can I tell you that they need an increase in what we give them from year to year? Can I tell you that it just doesn't work? They have to have bigger coats. Their families grow, their needs grow, their churches grow. They go from one town to the next town. That town may cost more than the next one. Their needs grow. Every year they need a new coat. And it's our job, out of love and out of a vow and a commitment. You can take that off if you can. I'll help you just a little bit. Don't go nowhere, though. It's our job to make sure that they can fit into the coat year by year. It's our job to ensure that they get the very needs that that God says that they need or they desire. They need new cars because things happen. You name it. We're people. We go through the same thing here in the U.S. We have jobs. Things break. We have to fix it. Our families here grow. Our lives change. Do we not want a raise for those that still work? Or would you like to stay at the same pay you were 15 years ago? 15 years ago, pay does not cut it in today's society due to inflation. Our missionaries face the same challenges, and they depend on servants of God to buy them new coats, a bigger coat. But there's another side to it. This should be a lot easier. Just drop your arms. It's okay. This coat doesn't fit either. When we go to our promise, when we go to God and ask Him, "Lord, give me direction on what You want me to give. Give me the burden, Lord, that I should have for this year's faith promise. Lord, give me the vow that You want me to vow for You." It needs to come from God. You see, sometimes we desire in our hearts to give a lot more than what God intended us to do. And God knows our future. God knows what's going to happen in the course of a year. God understands that we may lose a job, a factory may close down, or we have to move. God knows that. For He is the all-knowing God. He can see the future. He knows what's going to happen. So if we go above and beyond what God has told Him or told us to give, then we put a coat on that's too big. Or we're not going to have the money to support that. It's very important that we listen to what God has told us to give. Because if we promise one thing, we're unable to make that, then we've hurt other missionaries. Because we budget throughout the year based on what we're promised. It's very important that we listen to what God has told our hearts to do. We can't go too small because they need a bigger coat. But yet we don't want to go too big in our promise to God. Because we may not be able to meet that if that's not what God gives us. Give me my coat back. No, you can't keep my coat. I don't know when you're going to grow into this one. Thanks, Jalen. Height-wise, it may not be. He need to eat some more vittles, though. This is more, it's where am I at? It said, every year Hannah returned from home with a new coat. And we should give the increase each year for our missionaries. And again, we don't want to take on too much, because that coat won't fit us either. And we end up committing too much and not having enough to give. And a lot of times we get so far behind that we just quit giving. Missionaries grow. If they are being blessed, their work grows, and so there's needs. There is a need for many things. Things that we can't even imagine. Look at Tom Stallone. He has went from one radio station, I think he's up to four radio stations. His needs has grown. We need to help him in his needs. Their families grow. We have Brother Blake coming. He has eight children. I don't know if his family is going to grow anymore. But the Lord has blessed him. But we've taken on Brother Blanchard a couple of years ago, and his family has grown by two or three since we've taken him on. His family needs a new coat. Their houses change. And a lot of things in their lives change. The Bible says in Luke 10:7, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Just like we tell our pastors, you're worthy of your hire. So we give them our pastors raises and increases every year. Can I tell you, I'm not saying that pastoring is easy by no means. But I think missionary work is just a little bit harder. Not only are they the pastor of their church, they're in a foreign land, depending on people here to faithfully give to them. They're worthy of their hire. They're worthy of their call to God. Don't give because you feel a certain way. Allow God to set the amount for your family and for your lives. Verse 20. It says, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of the woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went into their own homes. Can I tell you, draw interest. Hannah loaned her son, the Bible says, Samuel, to God. She gave over the vow that she had vowed. And she drew interest on Samuel. Samuel was given to the Lord or loaned. It became far greater than he ever would have if he would have stayed home in the house of Elkanah and Hannah. Yes, he might have still served God someday, but not as near into the capacity as he did. What we do know in verse 26, and the child Samuel grew and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Samuel, because of his dedication to God, because Hannah loaned him to the Lord, grew greatly and became a mighty person for God. He became a judge of all Israel, anointed Israel's first two kings. He was a mighty prophet. He started a school for prophets, it says in the Bible. He grew. The deposit of Samuel into the house of the Lord grew more than tenfold. You know that $10 that's in your wallet or purse may not seem much to you. But you put that in the hand of Almighty God and Creator and watch and see what He can do with it. We know the story of John 6:9, and there was a lad here which had five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? We know what God did with the five barley loaves and two fishes. He blessed them and broke them, and by the end of it they collected 12 baskets. Because a young man was willing to give what he had, God gave a 12-time increase or a 4-time increase of what was there. It's not about what we can do. It's not about what we have. It's about what we give God and allow Him to do with it. God gives interest on what we give. The increase for Hannah. Verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. we find it hers increased also. Her faith and her promise and her vow to God, God blessed her. Not only with the one son that she asked for, from a closed womb that she had, but God gave her an increase. She did what she said that she was going to do, and God blessed her with 3 sons and 2 daughters. 5 more than what she asked. God gives the increase for our faithfulness. God blesses a giving heart. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring ye the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." I know that this verse is often used for tithing, for stewardship. But the same principle applies everything that we do and we give to God. We give it with a right heart, and God says, "I'll open up the windows of heaven, and I will pour out blessings upon you." All we have to do is have the faith to do it. And that is what faith promise is about. It's not giving what we can give, but giving what God has laid upon our heart. And in faith, knowing that God is going to provide that for us. And then to give. And God will take care of us. What a mighty God we serve. Her return far exceeded her giving to God. She gave one and got back 5. Her gift went further than what she could have imagined. And can I tell you, her gift of Samuel is still given today? Because of the man of God that she dedicated so long ago, we have 1 and 2 Samuel. But not only that, we have many people that were saved because of what he had done. He started a school of prophets for Israel. He judged Israel rightly for many years. We are still reaping her vow today. And I pray that years from now, God tarries, that many people will still reap from our vow that we make to Him this year. Because our vow sends missionaries to the foreign fields. Our vow sends missionaries here through church planters in the United States. It could be a never-ending harvest until the Lord comes back. Just like it was for Samuel for us. Have you prayed and asked God to burden your heart with what He wants us to give this year, or you to give? And it's not about what you think, but what He says. Have you vowed to give a gift? Then hold on to it. Ask God to help you to remain faithful too. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you say, "Lord, I'm going to give you this year. I promise you I'm going to give you X amount of dollars every month." And I can tell you, things are going to happen. Things are going to break in your home. I pray not, but somebody's probably going to die in your family. You've got to travel 1,500 miles away. You've got to pay for plane tickets or homes or something. Something is going to happen. And try to take that faith promise away. So not only do you need to pray to God to show you, but you ask God to help you to be faithful to that one thing that you vowed. Because the devil will come after that. He will try to destroy that promise that you made to God. And so that it hurts your relationship with Him. We do not break promises with God. The Bible even warns us to make a covenant with God unless we are serious of heart. But that's what a vow is a covenant with God. Ask God to help you to be faithful. Ask that the devil will not be able to get away or get in your way to stop you from doing this. And believe in God. Believe that He is faithful to answer your prayers and faithful to do what He has said He would do. Did you give last year? Did you make it all the way through? You'll make it through this year. God is not a God that changes. God does not alter. He doesn't lie or change as year to year. He's the same God as He was the day in the beginning. He'll be the same God in the end. If God will help you last year to hold to the faith promise, He'll help you this year. Have faith that He's going to take care of you once again. Have faith that He lays on your heart to give this amount of dollars, that He's going to make sure that you get there as long as you remain obedient to Him. He won't let you down. You'll make it again. Kids, Sedona, Sedona. Jada, Jalen, do you know that you can give the faith promise too? that this is not just an adult thing. That at a young age we should learn to give to God. You do chores around the house, you earn money and stuff like that. You can also give the faith promise. It is said, I was listening to a sermon the other day, that if missionaries were asked kids to pray for them, they'll get prayed for. And not only will they get prayed for by the kids, you know what? That kid's going to pray for them for the rest of their life. Because kids fall in love with missionaries. They remember who they are. Kids can give the faith promise too. As adults, we should teach our children to do such things. Do you even have a burden for lost souls? Well, that's what faith promise is about. It's reaching the lost of the world for the cause of Christ. Do you want to see people saved in foreign nations? Do you want to see people saved here? I have started praying within the last couple of months from my hometown of Princeton, Kentucky. We do not have an independent Baptist church there. Matter of fact, most of the churches there are now going to Calvinism. I would love for somebody to go to my hometown and plant a church that will reach souls for God. That's what our mission money does. Since church planters in the small towns that don't have churches that preach the Word of God. It sends church planters in the foreign nations to preach and reach the children of the lost world and tribes and communist countries. The Word of God has been banned. That's what our monies do. It doesn't serve our purpose. And I can tell you, for those that have never given before, not $1 of faith promise is spent on anything but missions at this church. Not $1. 100% goes to missions. And that is it. It's not like the Lottie Moon of the Southern Baptist. I think they're down to less than 1% go to missions. 100% of the dollars here go to missions. One of the easiest ways for a local New Testament church to fulfill the Great Commission and reach the lost is faith promise. We have but to give. And faithfully give. And we are helping others fulfill the Great Commission. My mouth is dry tonight. We've talked to you all throughout the last month, I think. Have you prayed? The initial thing is praying for God and asking God. Hannah had to start out her process by praying to God and asking her for a child. We are to start out our days and our lives praying to God, asking for direction and for wisdom. This is no different. We need to pray and ask God, Lord, what would you have me to give? And then we need to vow a vow. Lord, I promise you, I will give what you have told me to give. And then we need to stick with what we promised God that we would do. Have you prayed? Have you asked God for direction? How about last year? Did you fail Him? Did you miss one or two? Did you give faithfully? If something happened along the way and you didn't honor that vow, because that faith promise card you fill out is a vow to God, you'd ask God for forgiveness and start over. Because you promised Him you'd do it. I can tell you that we do it every month, but at the end of the year when I get my tax statement from Ms. Frederica, I check and make sure that I didn't miss nothing through the year, because I don't want to lie to my God. It's a sacred thing. Have you prayed? And are you ready for missions conference? I pray you are. Let's stand. Father God,